I need to remind you that it's being recorded, so you can do whatever you want, but you can't say whatever. So we have the first item on the agenda is community input. Do we have any community input tonight? Yes?
I have two things. And apparently, our Impact Time Bank already presented to you, but I picked up recently some flyers, and I have a few. That are a series of the organizational meetings of the Time Bank. Is this ringing a bell?
Yes.
Clark County Community Time Bank, which may be a really great resource for all of us with regard to sharing our gifts and our times and our talents and not having to exchange money for things that we need. So there's a series there listing of meetings on the next Tuesdays and Mondays over the next several weeks in a row, informational meetings about the Time Bank and organizing them. And I've already been in touch with them, and I'll be actively talking with them about background checks and safety measures for vulnerable people, and we'll go from there. But this is a way to get in on the ground floor of the forming of that Time Bank and kind of set the culture for it. So it's pretty exciting potential.
Great, thank you, Mona. That's one you said you had two.
Yes, I do. And this will pass around as well. I work for Bethesda Lutheran Communities, and we're beginning a national Twitter chat on faith communities and faith supports for people with disabilities. And so these little buttons have information about the Twitter chat, a place you can go to get more information. So if you want more information, you can contact me. But we'll be launching on February 4th nationally, and it'll be about faith supports and faith communities supporting for people with developmental disabilities. National leaders in that field will be talking on a regular basis, on a monthly basis, around disability ministry. And our first topic is the push and pull between programming at faith communities and just inclusive practices and how to get from here to there and so forth. So those are my two items. Thank you.
All right. Actually, I was remiss in introducing one of our new board members here. Ronnie, can you say something about yourself?
Hi, everybody. I work at EOCF, and I'm an executive assistant there. We are a preschool, prenatal to five, early learning program. We offer early learning programs for children birth to five. And I have a son that is developmentally delayed. He's 33 years old. And a grandson that has some issues, and he's 18.
Thank you, and welcome.
Ronnie Stevens.
Oh, sorry.
I also failed to say Happy New Year. Anyone else from the community who would like to have some input and give some input? Then I think we can move on. Right now? Okay.
I'm not from the community.
Yes, you are.
A lot of you have already heard about this, but there is a housing opportunity that has come up, and I wanted to make just kind of an announcement about this and say something about it, because it seems to me like a rather unique opportunity. There's a townhouse very near to Vancouver Mall. It's a three-bedroom, and the owner of the townhouse, it has been gone through some remodeling and so forth, and very much interested in making the rooms available to people with disabilities. And so they are looking for people right away to move in the 1st of February. When I first heard about it, I thought, well, you know, that's not for us, because, you know, I'm not ready to kick David out and send him on his way. But then she said, you could possibly do a 3-month or a 6-month lease. And as I was driving home, I thought, you know, that would be a wonderful opportunity to do a little trial run so we could find out what kinds of things maybe we need to be working on, how certain things would work for him. And I have suspicion that there are a lot of other individuals out there that could benefit from it in that way. We can get to, there's some pictures here of it. It looks beautiful. And I haven't yet had a chance to talk to our case manager.
And I can send it out. I have it. So I can send this to Darren, and you can get it out.
Yeah, we have it.
You have it already.
We sent it out, yeah.
Okay. So.
What, it's $1,500 to be split three ways. Is that it?
It would be, yeah, $500 per room, basically, which is a very good price, I think, for something like this. It's very close to Vancouver Mall. You can easily walk over there, catch a bus, get something to eat, and those kinds of things. And so they are looking for people right now who will be ready to move in by hopefully February the 1st. So if there's anybody that you can think of, anyone you can get the word out to, please do so. I'd hate to see this opportunity go by. And nobody from the people that we are working so hard to help, and none of them would, that this opportunity would pass by.
Well, do you know if they'll take housing vouchers?
I don't know that.
It's not, I mean, a lot of people don't have that, but yeah, they did.
The new housing coordinator with the ARC is very much on top of this, and she would be the person you probably would make contact with. And you can also get that information from Mary or from me or whatever. So, and I think they have the keys right now, so if someone wanted to go look at it, they could do that.
How accessible as far as bedrooms upstairs, downstairs, all in one?
Bedrooms are upstairs.
Okay, so
I don't know if it's ADA, you know. That I don't know. I haven't read the details enough to know that. It's a good question, though.
Thanks, Dale. Anyone else from the community?
Do you have that, Darla, too? Did you send it out?
I've sent it out.
Okay, all right.
I've seen it as well. All right, then we have the next item, the special orders. So we're going to have Wendy from the Public Sector Support Employment talk to us next.
Thank you. I'm just going to give you an update on the jobs that are going on in the county. And the Department of Community Services right now has somebody in there and has been doing great and has, like, they have a whole new set of jobs that they're going to have him doing. I think he's just been learning more and more than anybody thought he could. So there's just been piles of jobs. We're actually going back to DVR again to get some more funding to do extra training because there's so much stuff going on for them. Then in HR, the person started 11/17 and has been going, and this is the joint position between HR and the BOCC, the Board of County Counselors. So he starts tomorrow at the Board of County Counselors. So he's been doing really well in HR and doing the filing, and he's been doing collating, copying, filing. They're going to be doing scanning in the board, and so today he came and went up and had a quick tour, and everybody's ready for him. So anyhow, this so far it has been awesome. There's been just two really wonderful three candidate board, really wonderful players in this whole get together, and everybody is on board and supportive and finding jobs. Jobs are coming out of the woodwork, which is cool. Which leads me to pardon?
His picture was in the internal newsletter, and he looks so great.
Yes,
it's a cute picture. Yeah. Yeah. And he likes the Blazers, Dave.
Yes, yeah. He does. Yep.
And then operations is going strong. They hired somebody, did the job offer, it was accepted. He was a person that was coming from the city of Vancouver to the operations, and so he wasn't sure if he wanted to make the change because it was a pay cut. So Scott was wonderful, and they talked with HR, and he actually is now making $13.49. So it went up. So that was really very cool that they went to make sure that he got the right wage for his work. So he starts on the 25th. And everything's set, and we're just in the process right now to transfer him to be Trillium's employee or customer so that we can move forward on that. And then tomorrow, let's say it's today, Wednesday, Friday, Martin, who works with me, and myself, we're going to be going into the treasurer's office and starting a detailed job analysis. So we'll be looking at, they have a number of tasks identified, and then we're going to start doing the task analysis on those. So there's still a ways to go, but there's a lot of enthusiasm. Michael Fish is extremely enthusiastic, and so is his team. So we'll be starting that, and right now it's looking like it may be a 10-hour position. So I don't know where, how far that's going to go in terms of, I know we want 20 hours or so. He had been talking all along, he's talked about maybe having the auditors or the assessors team up and do something, so that's still a possibility. Although I will say, having two different departments with different teams, with different places, it's two jobs and it's I think, much more difficult in terms of support for a person. So hopefully there's 20 hours out there in these other departments. And then IT. So IT is, again, it's one of those places that the jobs aren't right apparent, so we have maybe 10 hours, and Ryan Farrow is going in there and doing another more detailed task analysis, because there's been some rearranging and some restructuring, and so there's a new fellow there too, Greg Fish, who is, not the fishes, Greg Fish, who's going to be sort of helping identify some of those tasks. And so that one looks really promising, because I think they're looking at somebody who can grow and that they can find and maybe evolve the position. So when we're looking at something like that that may only start at 10 hours, we're looking at, you know, really talking about like at 3 months or 4 months or 6 months, putting in that we talk about increased hours so that we keep that on the agenda to go to 20. I don't think that they're going to be partnering with another team or anything. And then I think many of you may know that my boss, Trish Borden, retired. So the end of December was her last day, and she had been talking to the clerk, the county clerks, sheriff's department, prosecuting attorney, But anyhow, so there's been conversations started there, and so I just need to pick those up. And we had a meeting with Mark recently and Trish. And so there's a few things that still need to be going to get in there, and we'll start those conversations. And hopefully 2016 we'll be working with those departments in some capacity. And if not them, others. So, you know, if you have ideas or contacts, please let me know, because we're just going full steam ahead.
Well, this is good, because they promised four, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're going to keep going.
So we're going to keep going.
Very cool. Good news.
Yeah, so it's been a wonderful process, and I have a lot of respect for everybody that's been working with us.
So I work in... I just lost my shoe. Hold on.
That's a new department.
Yeah.
They couldn't see that.
And I serve those departments that you were all just discussing.
Oh, awesome.
So just give me a call.
I just
okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
This would be a Cinderella moment. Yeah, exactly. It would have been super funny if I fell.
No. And you're dismissed to see your children.
It didn't hurt myself.
You're dismissed to see your children.
I know. Thank you so much. I have 2 nights before she leaves to clean my
house.
Thank you.
The prosecutor's office, Leanne isn't here yet, she's on her way, but the prosecutor's office is another one that has expressed some interest, but, you know, maybe more interested now after the first of the year.
For certain reasons. Okay.
All right, Bill, thanks for waiting to go second. Bill Bauman from Human Services.
So I have some stuff to pass out to you guys as well. So I'm Bill Bauman, and I'm the Mobility Coordinator for the Human Services Council, and what I'm trying to accomplish is increasing transportation and access to services for people with disabilities and seniors within Clark County. And to do that, what I've been doing, well, I guess I started in August, so it's been sort of a new position for me, and I've been figuring it out as I go along. But I've been giving a lot of transportation presentations, and where I've started has been in the downtown senior facilities. Because I met a resident named Evelyn Hallett, and she's sort of an advocate for me. She's making my life a lot easier, and she's setting up presentations for me, and I'm going and giving them. I'm also advocating for increased transit. I've probably bugged Roger Hansen quite a lot. The senior planner at C-Tran trying to get routes changed to meet needs of these populations, seniors and people with disabilities. I've also partnered with other community services agencies to try and work together to see how we can collaborate and come up with creative solutions that will increase transportation. We're also working on developing new programs or exploring on these. So I was telling Walt this earlier, but one of the new programs that we're looking at adding, we don't know if it's feasible yet, but there's a program run by the Senior Services of Snohomish County called Pay Your Pal, which is a volunteer driver program. And we think that could work in conjunction with our Reserve Ride program to relieve some of the money that goes towards private providers and put that towards volunteer drivers instead, with the idea that hopefully it would decrease the cost and then we would get more rides out of our program. We'd be able to serve more people. Because currently with that program, we have a waiting list and it only serves life-sustaining medical appointments. Whereas it should be for regular medical appointments, life-sustaining, grocery trips, shopping trips, social activities, but we don't have the funding for that. And then also, and then my last thing was just going to talk about the handouts I handed you guys, which are, it's a list of HSC's programs. So the main thing that HSC does, the Human Services Council, is run a non-emergency Medicaid brokerage. So people on Medicaid who don't have transportation to their medical appointments call in, and then we set the rides up for them, and then the rides home as well. We also have our employment to work and our bike to work programs. Bike to work runs more in the summer. You don't see too many people biking in the cold and or want to.
Chickens.
Yes. But those are for people who need help and assistance getting to employment or employment-related activities such as interviews, job training, even child care. We have a Reserve a Ride program, which I just mentioned, and that's sort of our backup, our go-to for people who need to get to medical appointments but do not have, they're not on Medicaid, so they don't have Medicaid options to get there. So, like I said, it's only restricted to life-sustaining appointments at the moment, but hopefully if we can get more funding or rework it in such a way, we can increase that program, decrease the waiting list, and serve more people. We also have our Sponsor a Ride program, which in my mind, the way I talk about it, is that if you have a senior or a person with disability in your family, but you're not there, say you live in California or something and your parents live up here and you want to make sure they have transportation, that is a fund that you can pay into and then you would broker the ride for them and so you wouldn't have to worry about it. You're paying the money and they're getting the rides to where they need to go. If you turn the page, then you have the mobility management, and that's me. So I'm just trying to increase transportation and access to services for people within Clark County. Seniors and people with disabilities are the people I'm focusing on, but I'm not hesitant to help out veterans and low income as well. The One Call, One Click Resource Center, that is something that I was given when I first came to this position. So Nick Ford was our AmeriCorps VISTA for the past 2 years, and this is what he's been working on for his time at HSC. So he took a survey, a needs assessment of all five counties, which is Clark, Cowlitz, Skamania, Kotatak, and Wakayakum, and found what the needs are for them for transportation, and it seemed like information and getting resources available to the general public was the biggest need. So we have the tripresourcecenter.org, all one word, is a resource center that will tell you what transportation resources are available within these five counties. And then if you lower down is the other part of what HSC does, and that's our Volunteer Connections program. And so that matches volunteers with nonprofits who are looking for volunteers, and that's ages 14 to 54, I think, and then 55 and over, we have our RSVP program, which is retired senior volunteers, and that matches older folks with opportunities as well. And then last is our AmeriCorps VISTA program, which I mentioned earlier. That's what Nick was, and he served in our office. But we also have Marsha is our program coordinator, and we have four other VISTAs serving within Clark County. And she runs that. It's done. So that is what I do, and that is what I'm trying to accomplish. Do you have any questions for me?
I just want to throw in a couple of comments.
Oh, yeah.
That bill is part of our overall projects with C-Tran in funding through the what's called the Federal 5310 New Freedoms Funds. And one of the things that Bill's doing is taking a very complex situation, you know, I just need to go from here to there. How do I get there? and looking at the different options that might be available, and then coordinating them all. You have the Human Services Council Reserve Right Program, you have the C-Tran fixed route bus system, you have the taxi cab system, you have a variety of different players out there providing transportation, but unless you're in the know and taking time to really understand what the options are, you can go, I don't know where to go. And a sense of paralysis that sometimes hits people like myself going, okay, I don't know what to do next. That's where the One Call, One Click Center is going to be very helpful, and that all they have to think about is tripresource.org.
Or Trip Resource Center.
So I forgot the center. But my point of it is, yeah.
Is that the phone number associated with above it then?
Which one is that?
That's my phone number. Okay. And they'll both go to the same place.
Sorry.
But what I view Bill as is, and I come back to this from many years ago when we were trying to get a mobility management coordinator here at Clark County, is he's almost like the not ringleader, you know, in a circus, ringmaster, kind of coordinating all these different things at the same time so that we can enjoy the benefits of it all. And that's what Bill's doing quite a bit. And it incorporates volunteer transportation, not only with Human Services Council, but also with Catholic Community Services, the volunteer chore. It not only involves C-Tran, it also involves the private sector. And I think that this is the beginning phases of maybe a more coordinated, easier to access way for people to get transportation options.
Well, that's a very nice way for a humble man to be have someone else speak very highly of it. Just make sure you know who the lobbyist is. Uber just got nailed for two.
Or not for profit, so we're not worried about that.
So the federal government released some additional 5310 money. Did C-Tran go after some? Did the Human Services Council go after some? Or?
At the moment, I don't think we have.
No,
we're looking at it to add new programs or buffer. Or
did we have some more?
We have, yes. We have some money, not enough to afford what you have tasted. You know, this is a beer budget, not a champagne budget. I'm not sure if we went for the additional funds or not, but not only are we financing in part the Mobility Manager Program, the Volunteer Chore Program, the Reserve a Ride Program, but we're looking at other options. Again, something other than C-Tran. C-Tran and CVN is not the answer. It's the community network, I think, is really the true answer to meeting the needs of transportation. It's Scott, or it's Ted, or Meredy, if you just give it me. really help us get from point A to point B, and we don't have to turn necessarily to the government to necessarily meet that need. We can just turn to ourselves.
But it's always nice to have a little more for Clark County.
Yes, okay. And we always try to glum on as much money as we possibly can.
Hell yeah.
Then you could have reserve a limo. So.
Exactly.
You know, we're all in the same place.
Yeah, the reserve ride is actually a fantastic program. We're really pleased with what they're doing because I don't know if you probably all do know, it doesn't make any sense to me, but if you're on Medicaid and you need to go to the pharmacist, guess what? Going to the doctor to get the prescription is covered under Medicaid. But going to the pharmacist isn't. You know, going to the grocery store to get the healthy foods so you can stay alive and stay fit is not covered under that. And so looking at alternatives like Reserve a Ride is a way to get people to a simple thing as like the pharmacist to get the medication that their doctor said, if you take this medication, it'll keep you alive for a while. It doesn't make any sense to me, but you know, that's just the way the bureaucracy is.
It seems like most of the population, the developmental population, once they know the options, they can usually figure out what's in their best interest and definitely recall how to use it, part of the routine. It becomes part of the routine, it's just over and over and over and over again. And
So I think being able to know that these different resources available is really incredible.
Well, one of the programs that I advertise when I try and push out there, like C-Tran's own travel training program, is that will people who are within C-Tran's district, there's two travel trainers that will go out with you and teach you how to use the bus system so you're comfortable to use it on your own. Because there's a lot of stigma using the buses as when you're older, you can find it scary and you don't want to take those chances to figure out how to use it. You'd rather just stay at home. And So that's one of the things I go to. And then I guess why I'm here, why I have your attention, we're looking for volunteer drivers for the Catholic Community Services Program. As more volunteer drivers we have, the more transportation we can provide. And volunteer drivers are reimbursed per mile at around 54, 55 cents, and they're helping their communities. They're helping people like you and me get to where we need to go. We just don't have the transportation ourselves. So if you know of anyone who needs help with transportation and who can be a volunteer driver, please send them my way.
And think about this, our impact, the time banking. Let's say that Bill has signed up for time banking, and I've signed up for time banking, and I need to give Bill a ride, and unlike CVAN, where we pick them up, take them, drop them off, say, get out of my hair. No, we don't do that. We slow down.
Yeah. Like,
but more importantly is what volunteer drivers do is they go in the room, stay with the person, wait till the doctor or they finish their shopping, whatever it is, and it maybe takes a couple of hours. If I'm registered for time banking and Bill's registered for time banking, I get to get credit for that. So I can go to Meridi and learn how to play the violin. Because I have 2 hours of time banked labor that I can go to another time bank person to use. And so now it's, well, I get quite a bit out of this. I get the gas paid for through the mileage, but I also get my time paid for by doing this community service. And somebody else can help me too as well. Maybe it's my taxes. Maybe it's learning how to play an instrument. Maybe it's fill in the blank. So that's why I'm excited about volunteer transportation, especially, is the fact that if we can reunite it with our impact or time banking, we can make it very attractive so that people will go beyond just the intrinsics of trying to help one another and go into it for their greedy self-interest.
You say C-Van and C-Tran is not the way, but we thank C-Van and C-Tran as well. It's the partnership that's good.
Yes, exactly.
Let's not forget.
So on the time banking, is there going to be any, Darla asked me, and so I'll ask you all if you know, maybe, and I don't, about background checks for volunteer adults.
For volunteer transportation for Catholic Community Services, and the same is true for Human Services Council. There's background checks similar to what we use for our drivers.
Okay.
There's fingerprint, and I don't know if it's the FBI level.
I think so.
Background checks.
Yeah. There's two background checks at Catholic Funds.
So in that case, there may be, in the personal exchanges between people, we have no idea, nor would we necessarily have reason to.
Yeah. And that's where the mobility manager could be somewhat of a broker trying to put together people with different interests. You know, I live in Richfield. Is there anybody else in Richfield? Needs a ride? Oh, okay, you do.
Yes.
Okay.
Your volunteer center, not all of those volunteer job or volunteer opportunities center around driving.
No.
You said you'll take them as young as 14.
Not for driving.
No.
Nonprofits within Clark County, maybe even the 5 counties, I'm not sure, can use that as sort of a listing, and they put their volunteer opportunities up there, and then we find volunteers for them.
Okay. Broker.
Yes. Okay. We broker all of it.
I might be sending you a teen this summer.
Is that 24/7 or is
that? The teen, you might want to be talking to Helen about a team because there's some training for high school kids, right?
Yeah, we because the WIOA, we are reaching out to kids as early as 14 years old. So there's some important exploration, some service, a variety of service, and even the after school activities, even a job center program. But it's all in the work at this point.
But you're, Helen is on the Evergreen Special Services Board, and your child is in Evergreen, so you guys could connect.
Sure. Transition program.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We've given the speech before.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is there someone here from leadership training, the Positos?
It's Positos. Yeah, so I'm here just because Maria can't come this evening. Maria Rangel is our Spanish-speaking outreach coordinator. And what we are doing for that group is we're doing a training. It's actually Foundations of Leadership and Advocacy, trying to really build up for those non-English-speaking families that we have a real sense of empowerment and strength as they go forward. What we're finding is whether that's in a school setting or a medical setting or whatever, that that communication barrier is really being a huge impact in their abilities to get their children's needs met. Even to be able to get an IEP in their native language is not possible. So some pretty amazing things, actually. So we have a group of ladies that are going through a nine-month training. It's similar to leadership, but it's actually a little bit, it's like a pre-leadership program in the Foundations of Leadership. With Positos, Maria runs this group each Tuesday, and she's got about 60 families right now that she's working with. She has doctors from OSHU, Portland, all over Clark County that are referring families to her, and that program is growing immensely. So we're very excited about that, and we're excited to get in a position where we can maybe apply for some grants for it too. So,
yeah. Can you translate what Positos?
It's English on one side and Spanish on the other.
Small steps
to big goals.
Thank you.
That's what Positos, whatever the other word is, means. I've learned the first word, not at all. So, but Maria is amazing. She's working three-quarter time right now and really supporting all of these families. But just for example, we're a normal family or an English-speaking family, when they come in for an IEP, right, they might need an hour and a half. For a family that's non-English speaking, these IEP meetings are taking maybe 3 or 4 hours. So it's very time-heavy and time-intensive right now. But the families that are coming out of there are just on fire. They're amazing. So we're very excited about it.
Can I add one thing? I was recently at the TASH conference, and one of the reasons why this leadership training that the Parent Coalition is running is so important is that for the first time last year, in the United States, graduated more students of color from high school than Caucasian. So that's a huge turning point in as we're looking at diversity and maybe some English as second language people. So I think this is huge what you're doing. So
it's very exciting. I guess I'm up next, too.
You're up next.
Well, I'm not sure if you guys have heard that Secretary Inslee has sent forth a letter stating that he is resigning.
That would be the governor.
Sorry.
Quickly.
DSHS. Not okay, where's the recorder? Quigley is resigning as soon as the Governor Inslee finds a replacement for him. So I'm sure Mary has that letter that she can send out.
Did you already send it out?
Okay. So I just wanted to make sure everybody had that. Here is a copy of the Governor's budget side by side with our smiley faces. You know, we're not looking at a lot of cuts this year. It's supposed to be a 60-day session. There's not a lot of huge legislation for developmental disabilities, although there is some. One of the big couple hurdles that we see coming down is that there is a huge amount of money that's in the capital budget for repairs on the institutions and to build a new nursing home up at Fircrest. I believe the number is $1 billion.
And the governor's proposed budget?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the governor's proposed budget, thank you. So that's concerning in several, obviously we want the individuals that are in those RHCs to be safe and we want them to be in the best condition possible, yet we really are concerned about putting so much money into an archaic system that was built in the 1800s that has long since outlived its usefulness. Yeah, sorry, I just was arguing with myself in my head. Somebody lost. So you can look in here. We do have money in there for new caseload growth. This doesn't look too concerning. There also will be a lot of conversation around employment as far as community access and pre-vocational employment this legislative session. And so really, I think we just need to look back to the federal government for their guidance that they have put forth from CMS. And as long as we follow the federal guidelines, I think we should be okay on that.
There are some families, it's a very small number of people left in the shelter workshops. And there's a very small number of families who want their legislature to provide all state money for that and to preserve them, even though most of them are closing voluntarily and have plans to close. But the federal government has given the state till 2019, March 17th. Of 2019 to close the last door on sheltered work. And there's also other federal things coming down that may eliminate some minimum wage, which would put everyone out of business immediately.
But what's currently coming down is that the setting area, and that they really need to be in an inclusive type setting.
Yeah.
And then, yes, if the setting issue from CMS along with the subminimum wage issue comes down, it really will focus. Again, just thank you to Mary and to this board for being such leaders in our community, and that our sheltered workshops have been shut down for many years now, and that our children are out in competitive employment, working and doing what they need to be doing. And so we appreciate your leadership in that. I am passing out the Parent Coalition legislative agenda along with sales legislative agenda, just so that you have some ideas on those.
Tell them what sale is.
Oh, sales. Self-advocates and leadership.
Can I ask one question? Uh-huh. The funding for greater utilization of DD residents.
You know,
we have
asked that and we have not gotten a good answer. So I don't know.
That is a weird decision.
That is very strange. We asked because if you remember, there was a request for additional residential funding because the residential providers' direct line staff are so underfunded, the turnover rate's enormously high, and our hope was maybe that's what that was, but we were
not. Utilization means there's more people than we expected in service.
Yeah.
So, but that doesn't make sense.
No,
okay.
It doesn't make sense. And so we had a question on that and have not gotten an answer.
Okay, great.
So. Questions? Yes.
It just came to me when you were talking about the job training aspect, pre-vocational. I'm wondering, is there any mandates of coordination between individual school district transition programs and programs like DVR, DVD, so that there's almost a seamless approach to providing almost vocational training starting as early as 10th grade, for example, moving forward?
Yes,
yeah.
There is. I'm happy that that's the case. Through IDEA, that is the case. We have some districts that are doing a better job than other districts. Some districts historically have had a checklist piece of paper at an IEP meeting and checked the box, and that was meeting their needs legally. That was not the intent of the law, and we have other districts that are stepping up and really pulling together to really form some amazing things to try to make it seamless. Our hope is with WIOA that that really will be that bridge that makes that seamlessness, because there's absolutely no reason every kiddo doesn't leave school at age 21 with a paid job. And that needs to be our hope, our goal, and our push, and I really think Clark County can be the leader in that too. So, we're working on it.
There are some educational indicators, help me, teachers, indicator 13 or 14,
yeah,
federally, that most districts in our country are not necessarily in compliance with. And that talks about employment and having jobs and,
And I do believe that on a national level that that is one of the things that as the federal government looks at the school districts on, across the states on a national level, it's an area where we're falling down and need to be doing better.
And then the WIOA work, work, improve,
Investment
Opportunity Act, which puts all of the employment programs under one
stop
umbrella. Right, so DVR is then put in a closer partnership with some of the other work.
We have a counselor and a job developer station in the workforce. Or going to, I'm sorry. They're negotiating the cubicle space right now.
And so will they be working at getting teens positions then so that we can get our teenagers working?
This is the pre-employment service. We call it PITS. But it's half...
PITS.
Yeah.
P-E-T-S.
So if we want to reach out to kids as young as 14 years old who has 504 plan and IEP terms, job exploration, career exploration, advocacy, self-advocacy training, and job readiness training, and a variety of service that's related to NOLA.
Thank you.
But you cannot use that for placement, correct? When I spoke with the director of DVR, I asked if you could do actual job placements with that transition funding, and he said no. It was about training, wasn't about actually.
I've never heard of that part.
It was very. It was a little disappointing.
Is it Andreas who said that?
Maybe he doesn't know back then. Maybe something will change and there'll be something.
Well, everything is it's still
morphing.
Yeah, so.
I also brought a side-by-side comparison on the ABLE Act and the DDA Life Opportunities Trust. So as we know, the ABLE Act passed the federal last year. And then we, last legislative session, we put forth a work group. Jamie, our local parent coalition person, Jamie Birch, was part of that work group all summer long. They have a report, which I have here, that went to the governor's office and to the legislature November 2nd. There's legislation that's been drafted and put forth, and it's got a hearing next Wednesday. Trying to figure out the details of who's going to be responsible for the money, who's going to be responsible for the people, what kinds of fees are going to be attached to the funds, those types of things. But I really thought that this Informing Families Building Trust side-by-side probably gave the best information on that for you. Because a lot of people already have the trust, so it's like, what is it that the ABLE Act's going to be able to do for our individuals that we support that the DD Trust currently is not? Now, for individuals that, again, the Life Opportunities Trust, you have to qualify as a DDA client to be eligible for that. And a lot of our individuals, especially those individuals on the autism spectrum, are not qualifying under DDA. So for all of those individuals, the ABLE Act is going to be an amazing opportunity. Questions?
you thank us for your leadership, we have to thank you and all everyone else who actually does the work.
Well, I also brought advocacy days, so starting on the 20th, we're going to be going up every week. We would love to take you and your sons and daughters, neighbors, anyone who wants to go.
I do.
You want to go?
Yes,
okay,
yes,
David. We'll get you signed up.
There you go.
And then, there you go, our first volunteer. And then on January 20th is our legislative reception. And we will be going up to the legislative reception as well. We send out invitations to our legislators, and we've already been getting confirmation of which legislators will be attending that event.
Who's going to be attending?
We have Representative Vick will be attending, and Representative Harris will be attending, and Senator Rivers will be attending. That's off the top of my head. And then we have a notebook that we do every year that's got everybody's legislative agendas in it, and it's got all the data and all the charts and graphs and information from DBA on all of the service systems, as well as all the legislative things that we think will be affecting developmental disabilities. And we go and we go over that and study it every December. It's the first Monday in December. Well, once we bring that back to Clark County, and we're going to be doing a notebook training here next week on the 12th. So anyone who's interested in legislation and wants to know all the good details of everything that's going on in developmental disabilities, you come and I will make you your own notebook, and you can get all this information as well. All the data you ever wanted.
It's a lot.
Are you sure that's all, Darla?
I think that's it. Unless you have any questions.
There's one tree still standing.
I know, I'm sorry.
No.
I want to keep all the industries alive and well
there
in Washington State.
Good comeback. Okay, the next item is my little baby. It's just that.
That's me.
Middle name.
I guess, yeah. So I wanted to just give you an update on the comprehensive plan. We are writing it in a new format, and I will be sharing more of that with you in February. Trying to get a hope ahead of some things going on, which I will also be sharing with you in February. And we sent out the survey to IT. Darla sent out a link to the survey to all the families, and we have gotten responses. I don't have the detail because when they sent me the links didn't work. So I'm going to have to go over to IT and just hang out with them and maybe do a little job development while I'm there. And go back to the responses one by one. But what I saw off the top was very in line with what the board had said. And employment was still coming out number one from the family. The families were the biggest responder, probably because Darla had a big list. I haven't added in the contractors in choices yet, but of the families, employment was number one, and I can't remember number two. It was not, I don't think it was what I expected. I think I expected community information, and I don't think that was it.
Seems like when we did that one through the ARC, that grant through the ARC, a lot of it was on the community recreation opportunities or
it might
other
be
places to gather.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was to avoid isolation.
Yeah.
When we fill the docs.
But it still is coming out. It's still coming out in line, which is probably why I don't have a lot of people screaming at us right now. And we'll be sharing more after I get it. Some things I'm just going to send out to you in terms of data. Yes.
I have a question, and I apologize. I was going to go and review the current comprehensive plan to see what was
you want
in there. I was going to, but I didn't get to it. And I know, I think the one before, or maybe even the one before that, there was mention of faith communities and a role that they could play within in the comprehensive plan for the county for resources. And so I would encourage us to think about them as an underutilized resource. And one of the, I should have brought some information and I apologize. There's a project right now at Vanderbilt University. It's just in the development phase. It's called Putting Faith to Work. And it's about really supporting and training and equipping congregations to be faith, to be work sites, vocational sites. Out of Vanderbilt and Duke University research out of their divinity schools and their research departments out of their USEDs. And they've kind of been created this project that's in the planning stages now. The manual will be, I'm going to be helping review the manual for the congregations in March, and the project will be launched in May. And so there's actual, some really great materials that are being supported so that we can equip congregations to be vocational skill development sites and job skill development sites, and deal with all those worries we always have about things being developed in church basements that are really not having an oversight. So this, two really respected universities and USEDs that are working together on this project. It's called Putting Faith to Work. You can Google that, look it up. I would encourage that. It's really something I'm excited about, and I really passionately believe that faith communities of all kinds are underutilized resources for all of us, but particularly for people with developmental disabilities, and I'm determined to see that change.
I think so. They certainly are in sense of community. Where those universities are located do not have robust employment for people with more significant disabilities. So I am sure that it will be, that's huge for those states.
But it's national. I mean, they're recruiting congregations nationally to be part of the project.
But I think there's also just the aspect of community and what you learn from being an usher, or what you learn from being a communion and assistant or something like that. I mean, that's all part of learning how to be part of a team.
So it's an exciting project, and it's coming out, and it will be, the materials will be available, and the project will be launched in May, and then congregations across the country of all faiths and all kinds can be part of that project, the pilot project, and to have oversight, equipping, and training, and so forth, to walk their congregations through that process, including people in that, actively contributing to the faith community.
Did you include synagogue?
Yeah. They're really the gurus of faith communities and disabilities, all faith communities and disabilities, and how, and research and so forth around those, that topic.
I think, I mean, the current, it has never been taken out, because those are other associations that are important. It hasn't been promoted so much as training for work, but it's mentioned. I'll take a look and see where it fits.
Thanks.
Well, keep reminding.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to go do some work with Eric Carter at Vanderbilt and Hazel. So.
Anything else, Mary?
Yeah. And this is just for people who want this. Spectrum magazine is free, and it's the young woman that started this. Has a child with autism, and it's really kind of cool magazine. Unfortunately, there's only, I think, the only agency she knows about in Clark County is Innovative. Good for you. And I was never able to send our links, so I'm going to have to figure out how to get some of the other information for Clark County up to date. But if you want a copy of this, because you have a young person or a child with on the autism spectrum, please take one. These are leftover. I don't think Courtney has. Do you want more than one?
No, I do a weekly newsletter for my parents.
Yeah, it's a free subscription. You can get it free. You just
sign up and see.
Parent Coalition.
Parent Coalition is good. Because I was a little, I talked to her and she's more than willing to add Clark County things and update it. I just had technical difficulties doing that with her, so I'll have to try again. But it's actually, she's done a nice job from bringing it from nothing.
Did she come to our family, to the, I don't know, I seem to remember.
Did she come to, she might have come to a family
meetings,
here.
I think both.
She's come several different places.
Okay.
Did she come here? I thought it was here.
No. She met with us at the county, but I don't know if she has come to the advisory board.
Yeah, I think she met with the county, but not the advisory board.
All right.
But we could have her if you want.
Where she live?
Portland.
Mary, I just want to correct the number. It's $100 million that's in the capital budget instead of a billion.
$100 million?
$100 million.
That's better than a billion.
It is better than a billion, but it's still $100 million too much.
Unless we get to change it. Then it's not as good as it was.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
So I apologize.
That's those numbers that don't, yeah.
I know zeros get lost in my head.
There's always been that sort of decision floating out there as to whether we should allow the people who are there to finish out their lives where they are.
Well, and it's hard because there's four that they're trying to keep up, and they're very expensive.
They're very expensive. Yeah.
And old.
They're not safe.
Safe.
Yeah. Well, that might be what the $100 million is trying to address.
But then the fear is that once they do that, they'll go, oh, look at these great new buildings. Let's
put $100 million into it. Yeah.
Actually, I think Lakeland, the electrical units at Lakeland is very dangerous.
That is an old building.
Yeah.
That is an old structure.
That needs to be electrically redone. And then the nursing home up at Percrest.
I think, didn't you say Sue Elliott had some ideas?
She does, some very creative ideas.
Do you want to share?
I don't know that it's public yet, so I hope. But yeah, there's some creative ways that hopefully would be a win-win-win for everybody, which is what we'd like. So we'll see if we can get some traction on that, and I will be anxious to share with you as soon as we have permission to do so.
Has Inslee made a statement on the institution?
It's in his budget, isn't it?
Yeah, that's in his budget.
Well, but he hasn't said, he won't say whether he's foreclosing the remainders or keeping them open.
No, he's keeping them open.
So by not closing them, he's making a statement is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, by putting this in the budget,
Well, there's always, well, we could just talk.
Yeah.
But let's not.
Let's do that.
We want everyone in the state with a developmental disability to be in a safe, healthy environment that meets their needs in the most inclusive life opportunities place they can have.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything more, Mary?
Nope, Jackson.
Then we got Walt back again.
Okay.
Yeah, you heard our big pitch, which is the mobility management and working towards it.
You are very passionate.
I am. For some reason, I just like the fact of going back to a time and place, maybe because I'm older, where people helped other people, neighbors helping neighbors. And that's what I see volunteer transportation being tired of.
Any new business then?
I'm new business.
New business, Leanne.
Yep. I have the business. Passing of the meat.
Oh.
No.
These will be hard heels to fill.
Thank you.
We'll give you some nice answers. And Jack's basketball team?
Jack's basketball, they won.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Got many baskets.
All right. So the last thing I can see then is adjournment. So is there a motion to adjourn, or did I just adjourn?
So it's adjourned.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Darren and Walt have something for you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
All right, good job, kid.